Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Go.
It's Saturday, which means it's time for the Q&A podcast on the front three with me, Adam Boltwood, the one and only Lawrence McKenna.
True.
And the stat man himself, Dave O'Brien.
Geordie.
Geordie's not here this week, Dave.
Oh.
Disappointing enough. It was a one-off. It was a one-time thing.
Oh, no, I think he'll come
very
back.
Very enjoyable one-time thing, though. People seem to have enjoyed him, having him on the front three last week.
I thought he was
fantastic.
Good.
Fantastic.
Tried his best.
Great guy as well. Great guy. Anyway, this week, we're answering your questions, as always, on Saturday. The first question, let's get straight into it, Dave. I've got a question here from Jack Armstrong, who wants to know predictions for Manchester United-Chelsea. The big game this weekend. Man United coming off the back of a good win last week. Yeah, are you feeling confident about this one?
Two good wins, I think. I think the game against Derby was good as well. And then obviously midweek against Stoke, United are playing a lot better. I think Juan Mata, attacking midfield, is really, really key to that. You know, his link-up play with Wayne Rooney is brilliant. But then it's also to do with Anthony Martial. His form really kicked off when he played when we played Chelsea on the 28th of December. Hit the post, had a cracking game, should have probably had a few goals in that game. So I'm hoping that he's, you know, in banging form. The defence looks a lot better. You know, Cam went fourth with Jackson. He's looking good. I'm positive again about Manchester United, but it could be a 0-0 draw.
Right. Is that your score prediction, 0-0?
That is my score.
Excellent. There is a sort of air of inevitability about that. Lawrence, would you agree? 0-0 going for?
I think there's going to be goals. I think that Chelsea will score a goal in this. Guys, I think Ramirez is going to score.
Get the winner.
Yeah, I think Diego is going to try and get into that back line. I think he'll score a goal. I think it's going to be more like a 1-1 sort of thing.
I'm going to go for 2-1 to Manchester United.
Really?
I'm just
bold
feeling it.
Bold lad.
I'm very much feeling it. Next question from Sam Dumbia. He's asking, should Goetze stay at Bayern Munich? If not, what would be the best team for him to develop further and bring success to?
Everything's up in the air at the moment with Bayern, so... You know, another manager might come in and say, hey, you're the guy to move this team forward.
Wow. Ancelotti specifically.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like there might make transfers. You never know. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of variables. So if he thinks he's got a long-term future there, sure. If Ancelotti thinks he does, great. But I imagine that a couple of players might leave to bring in Ancelotti type players.
I think there's one club that you should go to, definitely. Obviously, it's Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp, sort of made Mario Götze what he is today, got the best out of him. Götze shouldn't have really left Dortmund at the time he did. In a silly mistake for me, just getting into the, you know, just becoming the key man of that side, left, and obviously was as a bit part player at Bayern, obviously scored a goal in the World Cup final, won the game. But I think Klopp knows how to get the best out of him. Klopp's love, you know, Klopp played him attacking midfield with four very hard working midfielders. And pretty much let Goetze do what he wants, let him drift wide, let him get involved. So I think if they can, you know, reunite Klopp and Goetze, that's an absolute dream for Liverpool in the Premier League.
Interesting.
Next question here from the big man. I'm going to butcher this name again. Hanzala Abassi. Mm-hmm. Dave, if Jose got the MUFC job, will he be changing? Will he be willing to change his ways since he's courted it for some time? So if he does eventually end up at Old Trafford, do you think we're going to see a less aggressive, combative side almost?
No, I think we'll see that. That's what we'll see, a combative side that may have a peak of 2 to 3 years and then it'll go off. But I think at the moment Man United need that stopgap. I think that's the big thing. They need a stopgap to sort the backroom problems out at the moment. And I think Mourinho, we forget Mourinho is he's genuinely one of the best managers in the world, arguably the best manager in the world, obviously very short term in his ways, but his record's ridiculous. The treble at Inter Milan, the Champions League at Porto, you know, his success in Spain, his success in the Premier League. I think it's one of those things where, because of the bad fallout at Chelsea, the recent Chelsea job, we've forgotten that he is a genius. And the transition at Manchester United is something that I love, counter-attack, and Mourinho has the best transition, you know, from defence to attack in the world. So we'll start to see that more attacking football on the break. And the likes of Martial, the likes of Memphis Depay, that's going to suit them down to an absolute T. Very, very quick players, very, very good on the transition. But at the moment, it seems like we're going backwards a bit too much when we get into that phase where you could go and play that killer final ball, you know, bring Mourinho in. Potentially, you know, big fan of Antoine Griezmann, myself, and Mourinho. So, that'll sort out that attack.
You're dreaming, mate. You're dreaming.
Dreaming. But then poor old Juan Mata's going to probably be shifted out the club again, even though Juan Mata has been very, very good over the last two games.
Where do you think, Lawrence, say if Juan Mata does get shifted out, where do you think would be a good place for him to end up? Do you reckon another Premier League club?
China.
China.
I would like to see him, and this is just an idea. If Benitez goes back to Valencia, I'd love to see Juan Mata
return.
Both of them returning.
Fantastic. You know,
I don't think he's quite old enough yet to go back to Real Oviedo, but he does say that he wants to go back there at some point in his career. As do a number of players.
That would be fantastic.
So you know, there's a timeline there. At the same time, Mourinho does bring a lot of harmony to a club. Well, a perceived harmony to a club when he first arrives, because he kind of, you know, suddenly he instills a sense of control in the players. But it's kind of a short-lived sort of thing. I don't know if because we've seen it go sort of too far, whether he's able to do the same now, or, you know, if he goes in at United, whether there'll be sort of some skepticism from the players, whereas before, maybe there was a little bit of skepticism.
Unquestionable.
Exactly.
Great question here from David Ryan. Interesting one. If Leicester qualify for Europe, are you worried they'll get outclassed by Europe's elite and therefore that England's coefficient?
Like all the other teams who have been in there recently.
Interesting question, but like you say, it's not as if anyone else is doing fantastically at the moment.
Yeah, but I mean, Ranieri does have experience at that level, doesn't he?
It's going to be fascinating to see what happens to Leicester next season.
It'll be interesting to see what Chelsea do, won't it? But will they? Sorry, what Leicester do? Chelsea won't be doing anything in Europe next season unless they win it. Do you guys think it could be somewhat of an Ipswich sort of thing, where Leicester have a good season and then sort of tail off?
I think it'll be difficult for them, I reckon. The squad size is a big, big concern for myself. You know, you think you're taking out some of those key components and you've not got much left, but you could see them doing very, very well in one of the competitions, to be at the Premier League, or probably more likely, if they do get to the Champions League, they'll go in, won't they? And I think they set up perfectly. My massive criticism of English side at the moment in Europe is they can't defend. So one thing Leicester City can actually do is play on the counter-attack and sit deep. You know, you've got the raw pace of Jamie Vardy and Mahrez. I think the key to that is if they can keep these players at Leicester and then bring more players in of a similar ilk, you know, gaining these signings from foreign leagues or internally within the football pyramid in England, then they can continue on this run. But that's the key to it. It's keeping Mahrez, keeping Vardy. And if they can do that, they'll do all right. But I think at centre-half especially, they've probably got to look out and go and get some two new centre-halves in the summer if they are wanting to compete at that level, because the likes of Wes Morgan and Robert Huth are not going to be able to cope against the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo, Suarez.
It is going to be interesting to see, well, maybe they're going to win the league this season, we don't know, which would be absolutely incredible, but whether, I think they'll be able to keep those players, but it'll be about what players can they attract in terms of, they won't be able to compete, you'd imagine, with the likes of City, United, Chelsea in terms of wages and in terms of that prestige.
But I think what we've got there is we've got a massive gulf in the Premier League where the top clubs go for these top players. And we're seeing the likes of Mbula going to Stoke, or Shaqiri going to Stoke, or Bojan going to Stoke. All these players that are thinking, okay, the Premier League is a pretty decent place to showcase my talents. Oh, Leicester City have just done really well. They're in the top four. Is this now the new place to go and sort of sort myself out? You look at their signings last season, like Okazaki was a really good deal in a way. You know, a player that's sort of done very, very well in the Bundesliga, but not taking that step up to the next level. Mm. And maybe that's sort of the place. Leicester City may be a really good stepping stone for some of these players to sort of showcase what they've got and then move on to bigger clubs. But obviously, it's not a nice thing as a Leicester City fan hearing that. But it could be a good way to showcase the club.
They do have billionaire investors, and they have investment in the side, you know?
Obviously, but big spenders in the summer. They spent a lot of money in the summer. And it's just interesting to see if they can do that again, whether they can get similar success with Mahrez and Vardy. Obviously, they're the pinnacle of this side, but they need to replicate that over and over again.
If they make any more genius signings like Kante, I think they'll be just fine.
That's it.
Great question here from Frederick Hallerstrom. Thank you, Frederick, for your question. How stupid is Teixeira on a scale of 1 to 10? Now, if you haven't heard the news, Teixeira has just joined Chinese side Jiangsu Suning for a transfer record, a Chinese transfer record of £38.4 million, earning £7.7 million there every year, which may have had something to do with it. But I saw a few interesting people, you know, sort of on Twitter saying that, you know, those criticising Teixeira for moving to China, you know, questioning why he moved to Ukraine in the first place. Maybe there were similar motives behind that one.
Well, I don't, I mean, they do have a fairly good reputation. I mean, it's just about getting to Europe in the first place, isn't it, really, for some people? And Shakhtar are known for being somewhat of a shop window for then getting them those players further into Europe.
So, you know,
Mkhitaryan, those kind of guys.
Do you think Teixeira, obviously linked with your club, Liverpool, Lawrence, didn't end up happening for whatever reason?
But Liverpool didn't offer enough money, simply.
So do you think this is a stupid move by Teixeira that maybe should have held out to go to perhaps a more prestigious league in the summer? Or is this a smart decision?
Well, do you think they were maybe cashing in on him? You know, just because they could. Not that they needed to, because their owners, the owner of Donetsk needs no money. Like, they just have no need to be able to spend that anywhere else, because they're not going to go out and buy a ridiculously overpriced player. So the money's just sort of going back into the club. Do you also just think it's, I don't think it's cutting off in a spite your face, but he is going to a league where there are a lot of other Brazilians. He came to Europe, you'd imagine, to try and break into the Brazil squad. But you think...
He's not going to be able to do that, surely.
Well, you never know. I mean, there are a lot of other Brazilian players over there. So there's going to be Brazilian eyes on the Chinese league.
I think we are definitely going to have this as our talking point next week. We're going to try and go in depth on this, because I think it's absolutely fascinating how it's, the Chinese... sort of encroaching on football and trying to grow their own game and grow
leagues. But hold on a minute. But you say encroaching on football.
Not encroaching, but in terms of European
football.
Exactly.
There's almost a fear of the unknown that people are, oh, hold on a minute. What if the power shifts towards somewhere else? It's almost unthinkable.
It's just interesting that now, you know, the MLS, I was assuming would sort of become that league where they'd be able to attract European players away. Not European players are at the end of their career, like Perlo, like Keane, that they have done in the past. I was thinking MLS was going to become that league where they go younger and try and attract those sort of players. All of a sudden, China's come in and is pulling away. You know, Jovinho was a regular player in a top five team in the Italian league, and he's gone to China. It's an interesting...
You could say there's a bubble that they're creating there, and China have created a lot of bubbles to benefit themselves whilst other economies are going down. So, whilst everyone's economy is bad, China's weirdly is thriving, and there's a lot of question marks over that, I think.
I'm looking forward to getting into it in more depth next
Just
week.
To give but it a one tiny little statement. I think they're running it as a loss leader at the moment, but eventually it will become something massive. But we'll get into it in depth. Something very interesting. I find it fascinating.
It's also a different culture. I mean, football's a different culture over there. Let's put it that way. He's not going to be going to a culture which is similar to his own.
I should say the actual question Frederick asked was, how stupid is he on a scale of 1 to 10? So Lawrence, 1 to 10, what do you reckon?
I'd say he's 5 naive.
I'm not sure. I think it's a little bit too early for him. So I'm going to say a 7. If he waited, he could have, could have made that big move, and he could have competed at a higher stage right now. But obviously, the Chinese Super League is growing, so maybe, I'm going to give it a 7.
The main man.
Imagine if he played alongside Firmino, Coutinho, Willian at Chelsea. He really is then at the top, the top table in the world. And China at the moment isn't that competitive. Maybe he'll be considered, one of the first guys who bought an Apple Watch and everyone called him a dick. But, those people wearing Apple Watches now.
That's not from your personal experience or anything, Lawrence, is it? That's not from your personal experience, of course.
No, all I'm saying is, some people are ahead of the curve, but some people also aren't. And sometimes trends... But what I'm saying is trends don't catch on. It doesn't matter if I have an Apple Watch or not, Adam. What's your problem? Why are you jealous?
Let's move on. We're going to talk about China next week. Let's save all this good stuff. Pizball asks, what were your first jobs? I think my first proper paid job was I used to work in HMV. That was cool.
Did you? Yeah. Did you get a discount?
Yeah, 10% discount on everything, which was
kind of stuff you used to buy. You used to sell. You big. What was your big?
You used to buy these things called CDs. Not really around anymore.
Really?
Well, I'm pretty sure not many people. There's probably a few people in the podcast who listen to the podcast who probably never used a CD before.
I'd imagine there are people who. Sometimes I download the podcast, I burn it to a CD, and then I put it in my.
Of course, I mean that's common sense. Yeah, you used to work in HMV. What about you, Dave?
I was a paperboy first, real job, but then I worked in a bar, Australian bar. Used to have a great time. Used to get smashed.
What was it? Walkabout.
Not the same age, no. So the paper round, obviously, everyone has a paper round, so it's not really a first job. So I was going to put the other one.
Lawrence, what about you?
I had two sort of first jobs. When I was 15, I bought myself a set of decks and started to become a DJ, which in the Midlands.
Wait, hold on. What was your DJ name?
DJ Loz.
Shut up, Rob.
I was hoping for something even more out there, but DJ
Loz. DJ Loz. Smooth Glass or something.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
DJ Glassjaw.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
Why would I be called DJ Glassjaw?
You've got a glass jaw, Lawrence, as everyone well knows.
My first paid company job was washing cars in a car lot. As soon as I graduated from high school, I was like, I just want a job. So I got into washing cars.
Matt, I've
got to say, guys, it keeps you fit.
Does indeed. Wax on, wax off. Matt W at Turtle Muncher says, Dave, is Pjanic, Miralem Pjanic, the best free kick taker in Europe at the moment?
Well, Adam.
Hit me with them stats.
Open them spreadsheets, and I've had a look.
Ooh, them spreadsheets.
So Pjanic has scored four direct free kicks this season in Serie A. That's two more than any other player in Europe's top five league. So yeah, by that argument, you could say definitely he is the best free kick taker this season. Bam. Also, backing that up is any player that's taken over 10 shots from free kicks. Pjanic has the best free kick conversion rate at 25%. Mm-hmm. Other mentions to a number of players. You got Insignia from Napoli, who scored two free kicks from six attempts, 33% conversion rate.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Parejo, seven free kicks attempted, two scored. Interestingly enough, though, I decided to open up to the floor. So I looked at the last three seasons in Europe. And interestingly enough, if we're taking players that have taken over 20 free kicks, so that's a sample set of around, let me just double check, it's around 50 players, I think. So it's around, it's around probably about 80, 90 players.
Wow.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Man, Yaya Toure has the best conversion rate.
The main man.
Yep, scored 19% of his free kicks. That's four in 20 shots. But if we're looking at the the top scorers in the last three seasons, number one is Hakan Calhanoglu with 11 goals from 89 shots. And then Pjanic is second, 8 goals from 47 shots. Pjanic is an interesting one as well because he learned his technique from Juninho Pernambucano.
Everyone's favourite.
Legend. Yes. So he has a similar way of how he strikes the ball. So it's an interesting way. It's like that knuckleball effect in a way. But it's interesting to see, Calhanoglu, Pjanic, a fella called Daniel Weiss from Evian in Ligue 1. He's got a pretty decent record. And then Christian Eriksen and Andre Pirlo. So it's, good free kick techers, lads.
Good free kick techers. Dayson Adamson said, should Manchester United consider Pochettino ahead of Mourinho for the manager's job? From my unbiased point of view, I would say yes. Pochettino is a fantastic manager. You just have to look at the job he's done at Spurs. In the job at the same time that Louis van Gaal has been at Manchester United, I think you can see a real difference between the impact they've had on their clubs. But as a Spurs fan, I fucking hope not. but I assume you'd love to see him there, Dave.
Oh, yeah, you just summed it up perfectly, Adam.
Summed it up perfectly. Next question, Brad said, will City win the Champions League under Pep Guardiola? I think that's quite a good shout. Actually, he's probably going to be there for, what, 3-4 years, Lawrence?
No, I think they'll make a final and they'll keep making the final, but he won't win it.
Really?
Yeah, but it'll help with the coefficient. That's all I want, really.
Just want the coefficient to go.
Don't win it. Just get to the final for us.
Another question here on Pep from Sagar Ananth. Thank you, Sagar, for your question. Don't you think Pep going to Manchester City is more like Pep versus the Premier League, i.e., if he succeeds, football based on possession will be proved to be the best. But if he fails, it will prove that his style can't match up to the direct transition based Premier League. Long question. Good question from Sega.
I don't know if it will prove him right or wrong. I just think it's a contrasting style. Football can be played in a number of beautiful ways. Pep Guardiola is the man that likes the ball. I think that he'll maybe potentially, if it's not working, he will tweak it a little bit. We saw at Bayern Munich how they go a lot more direct against the likes of Borussia Dortmund, who press them. You know, Jiro Boateng balls out the back directly to Lewandowski. Interestingly enough, he's got Sergio Aguero there. Just needs a centre half to be that sort of sweeper playmaker. But I think it'll be, you know, I think that City are going to have success under Guardiola. Just look at the players that they've got. I think the big three is going to be De Bruyne, Sterling, and Aguero. They're going to be so, so dangerous under Guardiola.
I think it's going to be fascinating to see which is going to be their big signing this summer. If it's like Pogba or Alaba or someone like that, who's he going to bring in to sort of help him succeed? It's going to be very interesting. Next question here from Tuomo Niivalainen. If there was a Super League, European Super League, where the best 20 teams played, would Premier League teams do well? My initial thoughts would be no, because the best Premier League teams are nowhere near as good as the best teams from Bundesliga, Spain, and even Serie A. Yeah, I'd say, you know, Juventus, who's the best team in the Premier League right now? Technically, it's Leicester.
So, yeah, but you're assuming that those clubs wouldn't, the structure would stay the same. I think they'd do all right, you know.
I'm not saying they wouldn't do all right, but I'm saying, for example, I'd expect Juventus to be better than, say, Arsenal. Even teams like Napoli now seem to be more effective than the likes of Arsenal. You've also got PSG, who obviously maybe they don't have the strong competition in Ligue 1, and maybe if they're up against stronger competition, that would you'd sort of see their true colours. But then you've got Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Real Madrid, even Atletico Madrid. You'd probably say all of them are better than English teams, right?
See the competitiveness, right? Because the Premier League has, you know, a lot of competitive teams in the league, whereas, you know, Juventus, arguably PSG, Bayern, they sort of sometimes they turn up at the weekend and they expect to win, but every single week they'd have that big, big encounter. So I think it'd be a really interesting, it'd be very, very interesting to see how the teams adapt, whether it takes them a few games to get adjusted to physical games every single week, but it'd be absolutely fascinating, wouldn't it? It'd be brilliant.
Here is a great question. Sarfak Behal, thank you for your question. Is Gary Neville ready to coach a team like Valencia? Of course, you guys touched on this on Wednesday, the fresh 7-0 by Barcelona. He's yet to win a game, I believe, at Valencia. Things are not perhaps going as well as was expected. Dave and Lawrence, you think maybe this job's come too soon for him? It is a very difficult job to have it, especially as your first managerial post.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not quite ready to deal with all of the problems that come with a job like Valencia.
Well, I think the interesting thing in Spain is that a lot of people seem to be blaming everyone but him when they're speaking about it. You know, people in England are putting the focus on him, but in Spain it seems like a lot more the focus is on the players and the owner and the ownership and those sorts of things, and where they're, how they've managed the transition as a club that's got money again. I think the thing for him is he's short term. So as long as he can steer the ship, keep them up. The disappointing thing, I think, for Valencia is they're not going to make the Champions League this season if he continues in this form. Even if he didn't continue in this form, there are still a lot of equal clubs within that league. So I think what they're having trouble with is justifying both sides of the story, which is basically Valencia expected to compete this season and are now disappointed not to be competing. And, you know, there's already talk of Rafa Benitez being lined up to go back to Valencia and sort of have some, which, you know, would make a good pair, I guess. The last time he left, he wasn't particularly happy because he didn't get the investment. And this time, they can afford the investment.
Perfect situation.
Interesting.
What yeah, you think, although he really will be beaten with a stick if he can't get this one right. So.
Dave, do you think Neville made a mistake in taking this job?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was too big a challenge to start him off with.
It's really hard. You know, football.
One of the biggest teams in Spain, right?
Yeah, and it's just football is so quick to judge. Everything changes from week to week, and this has already seen his reputation take a bit of a hit, right? It's difficult to come back from that.
Yeah, you could also question the player's mentality as well. They've drawn 10 league games this season. Only Deportivo La Coruña have drawn more league games. So that's a fine margin. You nick a goal here, you score early there. These draws are going to be converted into wins. So maybe it's the players that need to be also criticised as well, similar to a lot of clubs in England where the players are supposed to be at this level and they're not there. But I think I hope that it will come good for Barcelona. Obviously, his Copa del Rey form before the drumming against Barcelona was the one positive for Valencia this season. Gary Neville had picked up four wins and a draw, or three wins and a draw. So it'll be interesting. I think Cheryshev, as I mentioned before, is a big, big signing. As soon as they can get him into the side playing and creating, that'll be absolutely good for them going forward.
Here's a great question from Lorenzo A. Castanon. Are Manchester United struggling because the best players got old and left, like AC Milan? The likes of Rio, Dave.
Had left before that.
The likes of Vidic, Dave.
I think it's to do with the youth policy and so forth. You've got to identify who's replacing these big players. And Phil Jones and Smalling were supposed to be replacing the likes of Vidic and the likes of Ferdinand, and it's not worked out. You've got to look at the analysts at the club, you've got to look at the people who are deciding the transfer policy and so forth, and you've got to identify, we've got a hole here, we've got to fill it with quality, and that's the problem. You go back to that 2018, the amount of world-class players in that team, well, not world-class, sorry, I don't like using world-class, excellent players. So you're going with Vidic, Evra, Ferdinand, and in midfield you've got obviously Paul Scholes, up front Tevez, Rooney, Ronaldo. It's ridiculous to look at that team and then look at the team we've got right now. How many of those players will get in that team? Yeah, Anthony Martial is a very, 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 very good player. This season has been excellent, but would he be behind Ronaldo? Yes, he probably would. And I think that's what we've got to look at. Those players were in their prime there, and they haven't been replaced. There's been no transition or no thinking like Ferguson. Ferguson was the person that refreshed the team year in, year out. He retired, and someone needed to refresh the team. Ferguson would have refreshed the team that summer. It wasn't his responsibility anymore. He'd retired. He's done that for 26, 27 years, so he deserves to not be blamed for this current issues. But I feel like the club's got to take the responsibility and it's got to be moved on.
Interesting. Nice. Very interesting. Question here from blah, 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 blah. It's from Te Golazzo.
Now, Te Golazzo!
I think you pretty much discussed this on Wednesday, but he said who was the best signing at the January transfer window. I think Kristen was talking about Charlie Austin. Someone who's mentioned, Dave, you went for Gianelli Imbula to Stoke. Lawrence, who was your shout?
I think it was Stephen Fletcher to Marseille.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's a given.
That is genius, given. Isn't it?
Absolute given.
Trying to think of who it would be. I quite like I'd like the Shelby one. I still like the Austin one. We kind of answered that the other night.
Yeah.
But, it would have been to share it to Liverpool, but it just didn't happen, did it?
to share it to China then, Lawrence? Is that
not within our window, mate? Not within our window.
Stockton here. We've got J Stockton 98 on Twitter saying, whose comeback was greater? Manchester United's in 1999.
One's not hard, is it?
Liverpool's in 2005.
Late in May in 1999.
Am I like the deciding vote here?
You are the deciding.
Okay,
guy, yeah.
So it's almost like a little game of two halves. Maybe you two, maybe Dave, you give me 20 seconds. Just sell me on why that Manchester United comeback was better.
So first half Liverpool, they were 3-0 down. Terrible, terrible performance. United were still in the game at halftime. At 89 minutes, they were still in the game. Ferguson made some cracking changes, brought some more attackers and scored some goals.
Lawrence?
Liverpool were under a brand new manager, someone who they haven't played under for very long, in transitioning squad with some really mediocre players at the time. The players that he brought on made the difference. And, Xabi Alonso, Didier Hamann, he put Gerrard in the right position. Smica scored an incredible goal and Xabi Alonso finished it off. Yes, they were down, but the point is, it wasn't the greatest match. It was the greatest comeback.
Mm,
it took them to penalties. And in that penalty shootout...
Whoa, where's the clock here, lads?
Oh, sorry.
Whoa, hold on a minute.
Whoa.
I was on 15 seconds on my timer when that happened, thank you.
You were half a minute, 2 minutes.
Half a minute.
I think...
I think Dave stopped me there, Adam. Do you know why? Because I think he realised that he'd lost.
Yeah, no, I think he panicked. He panicked.
Dave got shut down.
Shut down, bro. I think I agree with Lawrence. I think that was the technicality.
I want to win that on a technicality over the time limit.
Maybe. What you're going to have to do is maybe put it to a vote.
Let's put it to a vote because, you know, let's see what the whole has to say about this. I'll put that up on Twitter this week. What was the greatest comeback, United in 1999 or Liverpool in 2005? If, do you agree with Dave? Do you agree with Lawrence? Let us know. Get on Twitter and vote in that poll. Final question this week, guys. I like this question a lot. Is from the big man, Jeremy AFC, the main man, asking, what is your most hated football cliche?
Europe's top five leagues.
Hey, Dave, that's your favourite football cliche.
That's my favourite, Lawrence. That is how you judge players, bro.
My absolute favourite, an Andy Townsend special, is he's almost hit it too well. I absolutely love what the hell does that mean? I sort of love to hate it, to be fair, to be honest.
A really bad football cliche is when people say names wrong and then they go, yeah, never mind. And you're like, no, mind. It's like me walking into the room and going, hey, Adam.
You can say it that way if you want.
It's a football cliche.
That's your most hated.
A football cliche right now is obviously the whole, oh, if he goes to China, he's after the money. I know the player gets to make the decision, but ultimately they've got a lot of people surrounding them. And, you know, there's some interesting people maybe taking their players and marketing them to China right now. So it's not just the player.
A certain super agent, perhaps. Dave, what's your most hated football cliche then?
Should I think? I've got an absolute mind blank at the moment.
Put it in the mixer.
I like that. That's a good one. That's good for the end of the game. Get it in the mixer, lads.
Get it in the mixer.
Just when people sort of go, oh, you know, I think they played pretty well. It was a good match. You know, when people are giving analysis and they're like, both sides played pretty well, they pressed,
they pressed high up the pitch. They won the ball
pitch. They pressed high up the pitch.
That's not really a cliche, though. That's just like, you're just, I don't know. That's sort of like, I feel like that
it
is something that
it is a cliche, though, isn't
that's
it?
Something that you're saying something that actually happened in a game, whereas a cliche is more like not telling anyone what happened. You're just relying on stock phrases.
But it's cliched to
Gave
use 110%, stock phrases.
You know.
So it becomes a cliche through the use of stock phrases. So it's sort of like they're not really giving any analysis. Ronaldo was good in this position, or they, you know, give me some detail, not just it was fair to middly at times.
Another football cliche I was thinking about this week was always calling, you know, like captains, like brave. There was a great article about it, you know, like the brave, heroic,
yes,
as if they've like saved someone's life or doing something really important for the
especially in the Champions League.
Yeah.
In the Champions League.
A brave performance.
Celtic have not had, I think, 5 years without making a brave performance in the Champions League against someone like Barca. So brave.
Oh, yeah, that winds me up. No end.
Heroic.
Or in the FA Cup. You know, teams are so brave in the effort. No, they've been drawn against each other. It's a scheduled match. I understand what they mean by that, but it isn't brave.
It's weird that football has that. That might be another talking point, but those sort of words and those sort of things that are associated with the sport of football, as opposed to, I don't know, perhaps more meaningful things in life. But anyway, on that ponderous note, that does bring an end to this week's
The Front Three. Let us know what your favourite football
cliche is. Yes, please do. Tweet us at The Front Three on Twitter. Make sure you follow us there as well. If you want to rate and maybe even review the podcast, simply go on your podcast out there, type in The Front Three and click on write a review. I think we've got 106 ratings so far. We've still got the old 5-star rating, which is always nice.
Keep it there, guys.
Keep it there. Don't give us a one.
Keep it clean.
Lawrence, if the good people want to follow you on Twitter, where should they go?
I've been beginning to work on the website, guys. So get over to thefront3.com.
Okay,
and
perfect.
Take a look.
Also the YouTube channel, The Front Three.
Please, again, not only do iTunes reviews, if you like the podcast, go and tweet, really great podcast this week.
Yeah,
so other people see it.
Mm.
You know, it's all well and good putting it on iTunes. Yeah, exactly. Really great podcast this week, guys. Go and listen to this.
I like it. I like it a lot. Dave, the good people.
I think you've got to go to the website. Lawrence has done some great craftsmanship there. Lovely jubbly. So that is
www.thefront3.com.
Obviously the number three, because we are three amigos, you know what I mean?
I love it. Thank you very much for listening to The Front Three. Much appreciated as always. We'll see you on Wednesday when we'll be back with the Regia podcast.
I love Regia. Great guy. Regula. Hey, come back for the Regular podcast, guys.
I was so close to giving it a good ending. Just
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Boom.